No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
When 82 games of Illegal Curve are not enough, we celebrate the fact there's going to be more. The Winnipeg Jets are playoff bound. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Along with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets' 5-2 victory over the Calgary Flames, and they have officially clinched a playoff spot, doing it with 6 games to spare, a lot quicker than they did it last year. And now the Jets can shift their focus to the run to Lord Stanley's Cup. Ezzy, good to see you on this Thursday evening.
Good to see you as well, Drew, and thanks everybody for joining us tonight. My question is for you about the hat trick. Gabe Vilardi, first career hat trick. I think a lot of people were surprised, even though he's still a relatively young player, 24 years old. About the hats, though, are you bringing an old hat to a hockey game, or are you potentially wearing a new hat? And if so, Drew, and a player scores a hat trick, are you going to throw that new hat on? Because I'm not throwing a new hat on. I'm bringing an old hat. In the event there is a hat trick.
So are you bringing two hats with you?
No, not two.
Old hat is your priority.
Yeah, or like a hat that I'm willing to lose. But I always think about that when there's a hat trick. Like, how many of those hats are old or fairly old hats versus somebody throwing their new Jets hat or new whatever hat onto the ice? Because I think that would give you a pause for a second that you're not going to throw, like if you dropped. Let's be honest, like new hats are what, like $40 to $50 now?
Yeah.
Even more, $60, right? If it's like a special edition hat. I just thought it was interesting. But yes, great to see the Jets clinch and great to see Gabe Vilardi get the hat trick, because
it's got to feel good for him.
Absolutely. And we know he's had a rough year with the multiple injuries and everything like that. And, the Jets don't score on that 5-minute major. We're obviously going to be talking about that because Martin Popsicle, as I like to call him, is quickly becoming, Jets enemy number one, because we know what he did earlier this season to Cole Perfetti, right? So it's good to see the Jets persevere and still get the big 5-2 win. And as I mentioned, clinch a playoff spot for the 6th time in 7 years.
Yeah, you know what? It's not the result of tonight's game is obviously beautiful for the Winnipeg Jets, and it's beautiful for the fan base that's going to get excited now and get ready for the playoff season, which is likely going to start. And we know that the playoffs are going to start Saturday, April 20th. Time will tell if the Jets begin on that the 20th or the 21st, likely in Denver, Colorado. We know you're going to be with us at Boston Pizza for game one, the road playoff game number one. Whenever that's going to take place. And of course, more information on that front and our big announcement still to come on this evening's edition of the Illegal Curve post game show. You won't want to miss that. So stay tuned for the big announcement. We've been teasing it all day on our social medias. So we're looking forward to bringing that to you coming up shortly. We have Rick Bonus coming up to you shortly as well from the Matt Frost Media Center, where he'll discuss tonight's game. It's a 5-2 victory. It's a good win for the Winnipeg Jets, of course. But there's still aspects of tonight's game, Ezzy, that I think you're a little bit concerned with.
Absolutely.
That you want to iron out of your game. It's sort of now you're in a bit of a difficult spot because you've clinched now. You got 6 games that are by and large pretty meaningless because the Jets are basically not mathematically locked into third spot in the Central Division, but they're going to finish in the third spot in the Central Division. So now you got sort of the rest versus rust debate from now until the end of the regular season as the Jets try and sort of discuss and figure out the best course of action so that they're ready to go when the playoffs begin game one in a couple weeks time.
Right, I agree with your assessment of tonight's game. Like if you looked at the score and you looked at the shots, you would say, okay, like this was a pretty dominant Jets victory. And I'm not trying to be negative Nelly here or Buzz Killington, but I mean, there were definitely stretches of, I would say, the first half of the first period and a big part of the second period and even going into the third period, right? Like, I think the Jets had seven shots on that 5-minute major.
They did.
But no goal. And you remember there was a 3-on-1 and you remember Rooney had that scoring chance, right? It was a pretty, I mean, it looked like an easy save, but Hellebuyck still had to make the save, right?
Right.
I think Rick Bonus is coming up here shortly, Drew. So if you have to cut me off, go ahead, but
I will. Don't worry.
Yeah. I think, you know, the Jets power play looked good, even though you know, as we mentioned, they didn't score on the 5-minute major, but yeah. I thought, you know, at certain points early on, maybe the energy was lacking, the intensity was lacking. And, you know, it was certainly exemplified in the scoring chances. I remember Tyler Toffoli had a good scoring chance in the first period. Like, there were scoring chances in this game. They obviously got five goals, one empty netter. But, you know, until the Jets got that insurance goal in the third period, you know, this is a one goal game. And, you know, you're in danger of losing to a, as you said earlier about the Ottawa Senators, this is a going nowhere Calgary Flames team. And yeah. I thought there were a lot of impressive players on this team, like Mackenzie Weegar, 19th goal of the year. He's a top 20 defenseman in the league, in my eye. Andre Kuzmenko, who came over from the Vancouver Canucks, really good player. Igor Sharangovich, former New Jersey Devil, he's a good player. He was very noticeable tonight. But, yeah, you know, you get the win. But I think, you know, considering that you have some tough games coming up against teams like Colorado and Dallas, obviously Minnesota, they're going to play the Jets hard, but they're not going anywhere either. So as you mentioned, Drew, the Jets are locked into second or third. So you kind of have to ask yourself, you know, how far are you going to push this? But I still think you're trying to win every single game, regardless if it's going to be a long shot to finish second.
Yeah, you're obviously not, you're never going to play the game to lose the game. But the truth is
that, but you were, yeah. I think more in terms of, you know, who are we going to see? Are we going to start to see, like, are you going to see Logan Stanley down the stretch? Is Lauren Brossoit going to possibly get three or four of the last six starts? I think you'd agree, Drew. Brossoit is most likely going to start Saturday against Minnesota.
I would expect so. I mean, I would expect you're going to see a lot of guys get some rest. Now, you can't rest all of your regular lineup, all of your regular 18, but guys who have been in the press box, and you might see some recalls from the Manitoba Moose, you know, and of course you're limited to the number that you can do, number of recalls you can do, but there's always emergency recalls and everything along those lines. You're going to see guys get some rest because that's what you've earned by clinching, you know, with six games to go. That's the privilege of clinching when you did. Remember last year, they clinched, you know, the game 81, so they had the one game off before the playoffs really began against the Vegas Golden Knights. So the Jets are well ahead of last year's pace. There's no question about that. But I do think that there's still things to work on. When the Jets played their game tonight, they were significantly better than the Calgary Flames. But there were you know, lapses of time where the Jets just sort of fell back into the bad habits. You know, in that stretch in the second period where Calgary tied the game, you know, that was a bad stretch by the Winnipeg Jets. It was a very peculiar decision by Rick Bonus to switch up the top six, go back to Connor, Scheifele, and Vilardi, and break up Connor, Perfetti, and Monahan that had been playing so well. And what happened when he made that switch? Well, the Jets game sort of fell off. And
but they also scored the first goal.
Well, but I mean, it was like there was just a lot of it that was a little bit bizarre, I thought. But much like Monday against the LA Kings, I thought that the Jets played a very solid third period and really shut Calgary down. They didn't give Calgary any opportunity. You know, forget about, you know, the 3-on-1 while shorthanded was a bad, you know, breakdown. So, you know, and Hellebuyck made that save. But aside from that opportunity, I can't really think of any chances that Calgary had in that third period when it was still a one goal game. Maybe they had a chance or two after the Jets got the insurance marker, but nothing that I would describe as high danger. And similar to Monday against LA, that after Perfetti gave the Jets the lead in the third period, the Jets did a good job of shutting things down and preventing LA from coming back in that game. And I thought similarly tonight against Calgary.
Yeah, I think, you know, anybody who's watching that game, it would be they would be hard pressed to disagree with that, Drew, right? Like after they go up 3-2, it's clear that, you know, they were, you know, they were ready to, you know, put the final nail in the coffin in this game. Right. You know, I think what we're talking about here is that you're still seeing not a 60 minute, and it's a cliche because coaches and players always say that we need to have a full 60 minute effort and all the cliches and everything like that. But it really does apply to this Jets team. And, you know, I think even though you're happy with the fact that you not only clinched a playoff spot, but you were by far the best team in the third period, it wasn't as dominant as a win as I would like to see, certainly. And that's because of the fact that, you know, prior to these last two wins, the Jets had lost six in a row, right? And some of those were pretty ugly, right? You think of that Islanders game, the Devils game where they allowed three power plays. Obviously, the Ottawa game was disappointing. So that's what, at least I can't speak for anybody else. So, again, Vilardi gets a hat trick. The power play was good. Hellebuck was really good tonight, even though, you know, he didn't face as much rubber as Dustin Wolf. You got to give Wolf a lot of credit too. I mean, you know, it's a tough position for a goalie who's getting peppered, and, you know, it's demoralizing when the Flames, take the two, tie the game up at two, and then Toffoli scores on the power play. And then obviously, Vilardi puts the Jets ahead 4-2 in the third period, and then the game's over. So you're not really, there's not a lot to play for. Surprised Ryan Huska took that, time out late in the game, but, you know, good for him, right? Because he's still teaching these guys as much as he can. Exactly. We talked about his young team. They've traded all of their veteran players, except for Jonathan Huberdeau and Backlund.
Kadri.
But, you know, Tanev's gone, Lindholm's gone, Hanifin's gone. We all know what the Flames did at the trade deadline, right? But yeah, I mean, look, we would be lying if we weren't critical of, you know, some of the plays. I thought the Jets were turning over the puck a lot, especially in the first half of that game. And you don't like to see that. But at the end of the day, the power play has been struggling. So the Jets get a couple power play goals and they clinch a playoff spot. At the end of the day, that's what matters. So obviously, you know, you hope for more of a complete 60 minute effort against the Wild, but we know the Wild are going to be motivated. They're going to simply want to play the role of spoiler, Drew.
You're right. Minnesota was not going to want, you know, they've been pretty badly beaten by the Jets so far this year. And so they're going to want to, you know, exact a little pound of flesh. You know, I want to highlight this comment that's up on the screen for those of you who are watching, for those of you on the podcast, that's why I'm going to read it to you. It's from Drew Wendell via our Facebook page.
It's definitely not Drew Mendel.
I just want to make it clear that Drew Wendell is not related at all to Drew Mendel.
It's actually Drew's cousin from Las Vegas.
No, it's not. But I do want to make it clear that it has no relation to me whatsoever. You know, he talks that it says, you know, the game was the ebb and flow of the game like any other sport. And I do think there's a lot of truth to that. It's not going to be 60 minutes of beautiful hockey, but it's about mitigating the damage that is done when you're in the midst of the ebb in the course of the game. You know, when you're flying high and you're playing well, that's great, but it's how to mitigate what the opposition does when you're maybe going through a bit of the doldrums in the midst of a game. It's hard to play at the same exact high level for all 60 minutes, but it's about making sure that when you're not at that high level, you know, when you have those ebbs and flows in the course of a game, that they do not impact the result too dramatically, that you can prevent it from being the story of the game when you're in the midst of those struggles and until you can sort of pull yourself through those struggles.
Right. And our boy, Chef Richard, Mr. Wendell, that's obviously a reference to the Arrested Development song, Drew. I'm not sure if you remember that song, Arrested Development, a group from the 90s. And secondly, I'm not sure if you're aware that there is an ebb and flow First Nation in Manitoba.
I did know that. Yes, I did. But anyways, thank you for those.
I don't have the analysis for this Jets game. I just have random tidbits. Like, I can give you facts about 1990s hip hop groups and different First Nations in Manitoba. No, but you're absolutely right. Like, look, I mean, hockey, we know it's not, it's rare that you see a team dominate for 60 minutes. I mean, you obviously see that against when a really good team is playing a bad team, or just when really good teams are playing, let's say, mediocre or slightly above average teams to a certain degree. But I think, you know, what you're wanting to see as well is you're wanting to see some more goal scoring out of your top six. So you got that. We talked about, you know, the switch from Rick Bonus, and it paid dividends because obviously Nick Ehlers and Cole Perfetti,
yeah, I didn't understand.
I don't think those, well, look, Drew, those lines are still not right. I don't think they're configured the way that they should be. I mean, we're going to, if you really want to go back, like, I mean, I don't know if you want to do this right now, but Ehlers, Scheifele, Vilardi is clearly, to me, who you want to be on the top line. That hasn't changed.
And yet he changed it in the middle of the game for reasons that I'm really unclear about. Like, that's the part that I don't quite understand. Now, it doesn't end up, negatively impacting the result of the game for the Jets, but they certainly started to struggle as soon as he made that change. And I really didn't understand what the purpose of that change was. Here's Rick Bonus right now. We'll talk about this more after.
Maybe let's start with your captain. How's Adam Lowry feeling? And
he's fine.
He's fine?
He is fine. I just talked to him. He's good. He was surprised that they put him in that concussion protocol, but he's fine.
Yeah, so that's the call from the spotter or whatever.
That's the spotter.
Okay. So you don't anticipate any issue going forward. Would he or you have had an issue with that hit, or just he had his head down, I guess, and just unfortunate to catch him like that?
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And obviously, Josh, early in the game, he escapes.
Yeah, that was the right call. And good on the refs to take a look at it and then change their calls. So I think the linesman called it, so that's their job to watch out for those things as well. So that was definitely the right call. And, good on them to make that change.
I think you had officially clinched a spot with about 2 minutes left in your game by virtue of other out-of-town scores, but you obviously didn't back in. You won your game today. What does it mean to kind of punch the ticket and you have six games left, so now that you don't have to, obviously you have to focus or worry about that at this point?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, we didn't wait till the second last game of the year like we did last year, but there was never any doubt in my mind that we'd clinch out and we'd be making the playoffs this year. There was never any doubt. We've got a good team here. We've got a good bunch of guys, so there's never any doubt. So it's nice to put that behind us, and now we push forward.
And just one on Gabe Vilardi. Suspect, you know, a game like that means a lot to him, means a lot to the team, given what he's gone through. One of the benefits, I guess, in getting him back now is you get this time to kind of build him up to the playoffs. But when he has a night like that, like, how close to, 100% Gabe Vilardi are we seeing at this point?
Yeah, you're pretty close, right? So we've got a tough road trip coming up, four tough games. So that's going to help him, because we're going into some tough rinks against some really good hockey teams, and it'll give us a better gauge of where we are and going into the playoffs. But certainly with Gabe, he's always made the power play better. We saw it when he came back. And the way we saw how it's a totally different power play when he's not out there. So it shows the importance of his presence on that power play and with that line.
To that point, the way you've seen a lot of players over your years, the way that he turns his back to the play but is able to find guys, but by virtue of turning away from the play really disguises where he's going with it. How would you describe that ability?
That's unique. It is. But he's got it. It's one of those scenarios. He knows who's open and what he's doing before he gets the puck. He does. And he sees what the options are. When he gets it, he knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows exactly where the guys are. I mean, he has that unique ability to see that. But he's not ad-libbing out there. He knows, okay, I'm going to get that puck. I know where it's going because he's open. So that's him.
So he said the same thing, but I've gone back and looked at some of his assists. For example, when he's getting the puck, when he takes his look at KC on the far side, KC's moving in towards the net as it happens. So before he gets to him, he's not where he was before he got the puck and before he had
the look. No, but he knows he's in that area. He's coming in.
But his ability to kind of find the stick the way that he does, because if you don't get the stick, it's just waste time, right?
And the ability to put the puck through there. Right, yeah. You've got to get through a goalie stick and a defender. You've got to. There's a very small opening there, and so you've got to have great poise and confidence with that puck to put that puck in that area.
One of the things he had talked about is that this team is still looking at working on going forward is the kind of segments of the game that we've seen as of late where it's kind of not there, and He was talking about it's not just one or two shifts. Sometimes it's close to a whole period that the team doesn't have
like
its
game. Yeah, like the middle frame again tonight.
What's leading to that, and how do you root that out?
Well, we get spread out too much. We make it too easy for the opposition to come at us because we're spread out. We're not stopping and starting on puck battles. Basically, it comes down to that. We're just making it too easy for the opposition to come at us. And we just take our foot off the pedal for a little bit, and then every team in this league, regardless, is a good team, and they're fighting for their lives tonight to keep the thing alive. But it's more on us taking our foot off the pedal, and that's something we've been dealing with and we're going to continue to deal with and keep pushing.
All that said, I saw a lot of back pressure from your team in the third period. What have you seen from your team as far as closing out the last two games?
The third period was much better. First period, got lapses. Second period wasn't our best. It started okay and it ended okay, but in the middle wasn't good enough. But this team knows how to play in the third period, and the back pressure was there. And to see how tight we were all over the ice made it very hard for them to get anything going. So that's the biggest difference.
There was a moment in the game, I think it was after Nikolaj Ehlers' goal, where you flipped Connor and Ehlers in the top six. What sparked that change? And then you flipped them back again later in the game.
You saw Cole set up Nick, and you say, okay, let's, we had them together earlier, and it didn't work. So I said, well, let's just try it a little bit, see if it's going to work, and it didn't work. So, we just flipped them back. That's always an option that I have with those guys, with Nick and KC. But if you remember earlier, when we first got Sean, we had that line together, and it just didn't work. It's as simple as that. And then when I saw Cole set up Nick, okay, let's just take another look at that and see what it looks like. And I didn't like it, so we moved them back.
And on the defensive side of things, you've switched your D pairings as of late, most notably the top pair, Morrissey and Pionk. How have you liked Neil Pionk's game in the two games that he's played on the top pair with Josh?
He's been fine. No, he's been fine. Neil's a solid player. He is. He reads the play. He's a competitive guy. He can play with anybody. Maybe he's got good skills, and he's a competitive guy, and he can play anywhere with anybody.
Just on the topic of Cole and that assist, I mean, a pretty good board play, and then he picks up a puck in the slot as well. It's got to be encouraging for you as a coach to see him come alive at a time of year where the game is harder than when he had gone cold there. Hey?
Yeah, it is, and good for him. And again, he worked very hard, and it was tough on him. He's never had us go through this before, but it's big boy hockey right now, and you got to be right, and it has been for a while. So you got to learn how to play in these situations, and he's figuring it out.
You have a lot of options up and down the lineup. Does it give you encouragement that he's going to be able to be there for you in the playoffs?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, keep playing the way he's playing, and we're fine with that.
Just Rick, a quick one on Tyler Toffoli. We've seen in the past, I can think back all the way to like guys like Patrick Laine, they'd often be put with Lowry's line, and Paul Maurice used to do that to get guys going because of the way Adam plays. Looked like Tyler Toffoli, I know he was missed last game, but he was a lot more active tonight. I think he had like five or six shots. Yeah. Did you see him kind of maybe a little better version of him tonight than what we'd seen?
He made a great play to Apple in the first period. And that second period, you can tell he's a natural goal scorer because from the bench, he's coming down on his off wing and he knows exactly where to put that puck. And he just missed that far top shelf. If you see his poise with the puck, he knows when to release it. He doesn't panic with the shot. He's not forcing it. He waits for the opening to develop, and then it's on the net. So that's why he's got 31 goals. Thank you.
There he goes, Winnipeg Jets head coach Rick Bowness addressing the media tonight after the Jets 5-2 victory, playoff clinching victory, I might add, after tonight's victory over the Calgary Flames. So certainly some interesting comments from Rick Bowness, but a lot of things paralleled what we were talking about. He at least gave some insight into his reasoning for making that switch, and I'll give him credit. Trying things is okay. That's good. But then he quickly went away from it when it didn't work. So I like that. I wasn't sure about why he tried it, Ezzy, but I do like that he moved away from it when he saw that it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, and like, what else is he going to say, right? Like, we know the reasoning usually why he's mixing up the forward lines. And, I think that it goes back to kind of the discussion we had on the last postgame show. The last postgame show that... Was I on the last postgame show? Yes, I was. Monday, I forget if I was.
No, I wasn't. Monday, you didn't.
Yeah, I wasn't on Saturday's show, so I guess it's been a bit of a break for me. So I guess the last game would have been the Ottawa game. Whatever the last game was, I remember we were talking about what we want to see from the forward lines. And what I want to see is not just a good period or a good two periods. Like, I want to see, once the playoffs start, whether you're playing Colorado or another team, and like we talked about, it's most likely going to be Colorado, whether that's home or away. Right. And I think what you want to see is not just one line, but in the Jets case, you haven't seen the top line play together much because of the injuries to Gabe Vilardi, really, right? So you've seen, you know, a variety of, you know, different combinations, mainly with Scheifele and Connor as the pair on that top line. But I think, you know, Toffoli, sure. I mean, you know, the question that Mike was referring to is Toffoli played a little bit with Lowry and Lowry on the third line. And then you had, I guess, was it Mason Appleton would have moved up there into the top six? But there were, and look, I mean, the thing with line combinations is a lot of the times we focus on who starts the game,
right,
and who ends the game. But the reality is sometimes you have it mixed up a lot due to, and the thing with the 5 minute major, that's even more reason why, right? So sure, it's kind of tough to read too much into it, right? But I think that, you know, the good news for the Jets is Vilardi scores the hat trick. He's looking really dangerous on the power play. Yeah. Nikolai Ehlers was really good. And, you know, the thing that stood out to me about Rick Bowness, because let's be honest, I didn't think he said much of note there. Exactly. We've listened to Paul Maurice master the say a lot, but don't really say anything, right, Drew, over the years. But, I mean, to see Cole Perfetti in the top six excelling, we talk about this time and time again. I've mentioned Naismith throughout the year. You know, you love to see a guy sit out as a healthy scratch and then come back and score a goal or just come back and have a good game. So Cole Perfetti was a healthy scratch, what, six times this year? And then he was on the fourth line for the majority of the time in the second half of the season. And now he's back in the top six and he's playing really well. I mean, we obviously know the huge goal he scored the other night. That was an absolute beauty. So, just great to see Murat ask the question. That's the question I was referring to. And, you know, Rick Bowness said, you know, fairly straightforward that he does have confidence that Cole Perfetti can be in this lineup. And, you know, I think that's we'll wait and see how he's used. You know, it could be on the fourth line, but regardless.
I don't think so. Right now he's in the top six for the Winnipeg Jets.
You're absolutely right, Drew. They're not moving him out of the top six the way he's playing right now. He's playing really well.
He absolutely is. We've been teasing it all day long. And before we get into the Betway game recap, here is the important news. We present, in conjunction with City Place, the Illegal Curve pregame show. Woo! Prior to every Winnipeg Jets home playoff game, we are going to be live at City Place. That's at 333 St. Mary Avenue. You all know where City Place is, attached to the arena. The Illegal Curve pregame show prior to each and every Winnipeg Jets home playoff game. We are so thrilled that we're able to bring this to you good folks, and we are excited about this. You can see us live at City Place coming up for every Winnipeg Jets home playoff game. I'll be there. Ezzy will be there. Dave will be there. Colby will be there. Tim will be there. We'll have photographers, producers. All of you will be there too. That's Illegal Curve live pregame show at City Place. More details to come when we know the schedule and when we know the time of everything. But we will be there coming up for the home playoff games. That's going to be an exciting development. And of course, stay tuned for more information along those lines. And a reminder, of course, that for game one, road game number one, we're going to be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue as well. So tons of Illegal Curve live broadcasts coming your way, starting with the playoffs, so you know that it's going to be a very busy time, but really exciting to bring a pregame show to our audience, Ezzy.
Yeah, and as T. Will says, we're not going to be spending as much time with our significant others, so I think Laura and Naomi might be a little bit upset. No, I mean, the reality is, You know, this is going to be so much fun. You know, I got to give you props, Drew, for hooking this up. City Place and IC have been in discussions a little bit over the last week. And, you know, it's a no-brainer, right? Like, City Place is at the center of everything. And I believe that we're going to be on the second floor, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure yet. We'll know.
Okay, we're not sure. People are asking, Drew. You make the big announcement. People want to know. A few people weren't sure if we're going to be in front of the Shark Club or McDonald's. There's a great food court there. You know that I love the City Place food court.
We're going to figure that all out. I have a meeting there tomorrow. We're going to figure all the logistics out, and then we're going to bring everybody all the information as to where exactly we're going to be. But know that we will be at City Place for a Legal Curve pregame show prior to each and every Winnipeg Jets home playoff game starting in a couple weeks' time. So that's the big announcement. You'll be hearing a lot about it from now until then. But there you go. Big thanks to our friends at City Place for bringing us aboard, coming alongside a Legal Curve for this exciting edition.
And you can watch this show for free. That's the best thing. This is free. You get to watch a Legal Curve live for the pregame show, and it doesn't cost you a thing.
That's
a beautiful thing.
Hopefully you'll be engaging in purchasing some food and beverage from the great places at City Place, the great establishments there. But that's where we're going to be. 333 St. Mary Avenue for the Illegal Curve pregame show. So that's an exciting development along those lines. Why don't we get into the nitty gritty details of tonight's game, Ezzy? It's the Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Betway is the sports betting app that puts the customer, at the forefront. It's one of the most trusted voices in sports betting in both in Canada and all around the world. You got to head on over to Betway and bet your way. You must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Calgary Flames opened the scoring in tonight's game. I thought the Jets would come out with a little more pop. They didn't so much. Nikolaj Ehlers in the box with a tripping penalty. Mackenzie Weegar, who certainly was noticeable and was probably, in my mind, the Flames' best player tonight, getting his 19th goal of the season. It comes on the power play. Assist to Jonathan Huberdeau and Andre Kuzmenko. And it's a low to high play where Huberdeau's behind the net. There's a lot of Jets sort of behind the net with him. He feeds Weegar. Lowry, I think, is the guy who's coming out to challenge Weegar on the shot. He gets it through Lowry as he and past Hellebuck to give the Flames the early 1-0 lead, not the start that the Jets wanted to tonight's game.
No, you mentioned there, you know, there's basically scrum along the boards, and there's three Flames and two Jets because obviously the Flames are on the power play. And Adam Lowry, to me, is just too deep. Like, he's too close to the goal line. And when Jonathan Huberdeau eventually gets the puck out back to Mackenzie Weegar, Lowry is just too far away. Like, he gets kind of in a lane, but he's just like, you know, he put himself in a position. Again, I'm not blaming Adam Lowry here for this goal, but there was just too much time and space for Weegar. When Huberdeau gets the puck back up to Weegar at the blue line, he just moves in and blasts the shot. We talked about it. He's got 19 goals, which I think is third or fourth right now amongst defensemen in the NHL, up there with, you know, Cale Makar and up there with Rasmus Dahlin. Like, Weegar's a great defenseman. And a couple years back, 3 years back, remember how obsessed Jets fans were with Mackenzie Weegar when he was going to be before he was traded? And that's why, because, I mean, I would take Weegar on my team any day of the week. This guy is a good passer. He can skate. He's good defensively. That's why I said top 20 defenseman in the league for me, Drew. Like, I'm talking about top 20 overall defenseman.
Yeah, no,
or top 20 offensive defenseman. Look, he's got 19 goals, right? Like, it's not easy in the NHL for a defenseman to score 19 goals, right? He's well on his way to scoring 20, obviously. But I thought it was too much time and space on the penalty kill there for the Jets.
I don't disagree with you. I thought it was too much time and space, and their structure broke down on this one. And to your point about Weegar, look, when they made the trade, Weegar and Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk, Huberdeau is the guy who's not living up to his end of the bargain there. Mackenzie Weegar has definitely been the better of the two assets for the Calgary Flames.
You know, just as an aside, it shows you how good of a player Alex Barkov is, right? Well, sure, because obviously Huberdeau and Barkov have played played so much together.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, Huberto went from, what, 110 points to whatever he had last year, 60 or something.
Something like
right?
that.
Right. So, yeah, I think Uyghur has, I would say he's actually exceeded expectations. And a guy that, you know how I'd love to do this, Drew. We've been doing the show for 15 years. He's got to be in the conversation for Team Canada, in my opinion.
No question. Oh, yeah. At the forefront of that conversation, I would suggest. You know, he should be in there, you know, with Makar and the other sort of
And Morrissey. Media. We've talked about Morrissey.
Morrissey, too.
He's got to be in the conversation. And then, obviously, you know, throw Scheifele's name in there as well. But, we're just talking about defensemen here. Yeah, but just, you know, I thought this looks so innocuous, right? Like, it's just a little scrum around the boards. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have really turned into a high-danger chance. And that's what I saw there. I just saw, like you said, you know, they broke down a little bit with too many players below the goal line or close to the goal line. And, right. you know, Uyghur just steps into it. And obviously, you know, no fault on Connor Hellebuyck there.
No, certainly not. Jets tie it up also on the power play. So the Calgary Flames run into some penalty trouble. You have Dewar in the box for high sticking, and then Kevin Rooney takes a tripping penalty. So it's a 5-on-3 for the Winnipeg Jets. They don't succeed on the 5-on-3, but it's not a complete and total disaster because they do score the 5-on-4 goal. It's Gabe Vilardi, his 17th of the year. You'll hear his name a whole bunch tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Gabe Vilardi, his 17th of the year, assist to Kyle Connor and Josh Morrissey. And so what I like about this from the Jets' perspective is, yes, the 5-on-3 doesn't succeed, but you have good structure and you have good some good opportunities on the 5-on-3, but they also don't sort of, too often if you don't succeed on a 5-on-3, you might see teams sort of hang their heads and the 5-on-4 doesn't become anything of legitimate concern. In this case, I'm glad to see from the Jets' perspective that they were able to stick with it, even though they didn't score 5-on-3, to get it 5-on-4 and tie it up at a goal apiece, Ezzy.
Yeah, no, I think you make a good point there because, I mean, look, the Jets' power play struggles, we always talk about this, and then you have to preface it by saying, like, we're not just talking about this year. This has been, you know, an issue for several years. I mean, it really hasn't been since kind of the 2017-19 era where the Jets had a power play where you knew what to expect. And we talked about it going into this game. The Jets were 1-for-21, I believe, Drew, or 1-for-22, something like that.
It was not very good.
So you score a couple power play goals tonight, and you easily could have had 3 or 4, right? We talked about the 5-minute major. Look, I didn't think that power play was terrible. Like, I think they got 8 shots or something like that. And Connor obviously was, you know, in the middle of it. Morrissey was doing his thing, roving around the ice, mm-hmm. feeding shots from the point. But you're right. I mean, that has been an issue for the Jets when, you know, the first power play unit goes out there for a minute to a minute and a half. They don't get anything done. And there's this big sag. And, you know, the Jets kind of just fizzle out for their power play. But, you know, I thought originally, you know, this was just Connor quickly putting the puck on net and it was a rebound from Dustin Wolf. But then you see the replay and it's actually a sneaky, nice pass from Kyle Connor. And obviously, you know, it's been documented quite a bit. You know, you hear Kevin Sawyer and Dan Robertson talking about it a lot on the broadcast. But Gabe Vilardi, like, man, he lives in front of the crease. And he should be. He's a big guy. He's got beautiful hands. Like I've told you and Dave, he kind of reminds you a little bit of Rick Nash. I realize, you know, that's, you know, a very high comparison because, you know, what did Nash have? 400 plus goals in the NHL. That's the type of player he reminds me of. Big guy, amazing hands. It just has a way
and
of deflecting those. Exactly. And a presence. He knows it's not like he's just going to the net and he's hoping, you know, the puck deflects off of his shin pad or something. Like he knows what he's doing. So I just wanted to highlight that. I thought that was a really nice pass by Connor. And I just like the first power play unit all night, even though they didn't score. And we'll get into that, you know, late in the second period, early third period, you know, with the 5-minute major with Popsicle there. But I liked what they were doing. This is the way they, and it just shows you, Drew, how important Gabe Vilardi is to this power play. Like the power play is struggling. Vilardi's back. Power play is good again. So again, you know, I think, you know, we know that Mark Scheifele, Josh Morrissey, Kyle Connor, Nick Ehlers, like these guys get paid to produce on the power play, but it's really Vilardi who's doing most of the damage this year for the Jets.
Yeah, you know, a sign of a really damn good hockey player is when the opponent knows what you are going to do or what you want to do, and they still can't stop you. So Gabe Vilardi isn't, you know, isn't disguising what he's trying to do. He's saying, this is what I'm going to do. You have to try and stop me. I don't think you can. I'm too big and I'm too strong. And this was one of those instances, and that's certainly a great asset for the Winnipeg Jets to have. So 1-1 at this point in time, the Jets take the lead for the first time in the game. That comes a minute and 57 seconds later. Nikolaj Ehlers, his 23rd of the season. You know, when I say that Nikolaj Ehlers scored, you know that it's an even strength goal. I don't even have to say where it is. He doesn't score power play goals. You know it's an even strength goal. It was assist to Perfetti. It's a nice play by Ehlers. Don't get me wrong, but the play by Perfetti,
all 91 for sure.
This is a player now, you know, Cole Perfetti, who's playing with some confidence, and you're seeing him. I think almost, and it's a small sample since he's come back and been sort of an effective player because he went through those significant doldrums. But right now, the last couple of games, he looks like he's dialed in and he's in a zone, and that the game is back to maybe being slower for him when he can see, when he can use that vision and he can use those hands and he can use that sort of sneaky skill set that he possesses. Because here is just a great example of him using those smarts and that stick to set up Ehlers for the goal.
Yeah, and he goes in there and he's battling with Michael Backlund. So not only mm-hmm. the captain, but one of their best two-way forwards, right? Like, Backlund's been a great two-way center for many, many years here. And I just love the fact that Perfetti goes into the corner, gets the puck, and then he fights off Backlund. Like, that to me is just Will winning out there. Yeah, he's obviously got the skill. You're right, Drew. Like, when the game slows down for him, he's a great visionary player. That's his bread and butter, is that he's able to see things like, kind of like, I'm not comparing Perfetti to Kucherov, but, you know, there's some similarities, I think, between Perfetti and Kucherov, in that, you know, he can seemingly make something out of nothing because mm-hmm. he maybe sees a seam or sees a passing option that maybe, you know, you didn't see as you were watching the play unfold live, right? So,
right.
Yeah, just excellent effort by Perfetti to fight off Backlund, and then just a beauty pass by Ehlers, nice finish by Ehlers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you're really seeing something there with Perfetti and Ehlers. And that's why, Drew, if regardless of if the Jets are playing in Colorado or in Winnipeg against Colorado to start the first round, I still think you're going to see Connor Scheifele Vilardi. That's just, I'm not saying that it should be that. I think that's the line you're going to see. And then you're going to see,
I hope not.
I think you're going to see Ehlers, and you're going to see Monahan, and you're going to see Perfetti. And obviously the odd man out there is Toffoli. I guess you're going to see Toffoli on the third line. I mean, it's tough to see a situation right now, Perfetti not being in the top six. And that means that a good player is going to have to be on the third line that wasn't before, right? And right now it looks like it's going to be Toffoli.
That, you know what, that's a good problem for the Winnipeg Jets to have. So they won't complain too much about having too much talent to fit on their roster. And of course,
if you have a 31 goal scorer on your third line, Drew, exactly, that's a good problem to have.
That's a very good problem to have.
Or it's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's just good to have.
Right? It's a good, exactly. 2-1 for the Winnipeg Jets after 20 minutes. A good first period for the Jets, all in all, after a little bit of a slow start to it. But then they really did, I thought, take control, outshooting Calgary 17-8. Second period, not as good to start for the Winnipeg Jets. Calgary comes out and is certainly the better of the two teams. The Winnipeg Jets really just looked like they stopped skating, you know, for a big portion of that second period. And eventually, and you could sort of just feel it coming, you know, you could just sort of you feel the crowd and everybody else, just the Jets weren't moving their skates. So Calgary does get a goal. It's a bit of a seeing eye shot that deflects in off of Neil Pionk. It's Daniil Miramanov, not a household name, playing for the Flames, his third of the year, assist to Mackenzie Weegar at the 10:34 mark of the second period. And kudos to the Flames, and maybe a good awakening for the Winnipeg Jets, that you know, you can't stop playing. You can't stop skating. You can't stop doing the things that make you successful, because no matter who you're playing, by and large, they might make you pay for it. And Calgary does here to tie the game up at two.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you know, we both, I think, I'm not sure how many notes you kept today, Drew. I kept a little bit. Sometimes my notes are longer than others, but I did make a couple notes here. You mentioned, you know, the start to the second period. I didn't like it either. I had Andre Kuzmenko had a really good scoring chance early. We talked about the Neil Pionk penalty. They killed that off, but the Flames had some good pressure. And obviously, you know, look, Colin Miller's back in here. And, you know, he's in front of the net. He sweeps the puck, but he sweeps it to nobody. He sweeps it just to the boards. Mm-hmm. Tries to clear it, but it's just not. It's a soft clear to the boards. Mackenzie Weegar picks it up and gets it over to Dimil Miromanov, who, by the way, he came over from Vegas in the Noah Hanifin trade. Miromanov can skate. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, you mentioned, Drew, like, you can't fall asleep for, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 9, 10 minutes, whatever, half of a period. Well, it doesn't matter who you're playing. There's good players on any NHL team, right?
True.
And there's also players that are competing for next year, right? Like, I know it's a cliche, but, like, that's all the Flames are playing for right now. They're playing to win these games. The Flames have 34 wins this year, right? Like, the Flames aren't, like, a bottom five team. You forget, like, they were still, look, at. I don't think the Flames deserve to be in the playoffs, but they were still a team that thought they were going to be a playoff team at the beginning of the year. This was a team that wasn't built.
No, you know, they thought that getting rid of Daryl Sutter was going to make them a playoff team. I mean, that's what they thought.
Well, I also think that, you know, they expected more out of, you know, we talked about it, like,
sure,
you know, they I think maybe overvalued a bounce back year for Jonathan Huberdeau. Maybe they thought, you know, Elias Lindholm, even though I think he was okay for the Flames, you know, they thought Lindholm was maybe going to be the Lindholm from 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Like, Vancouver's still hoping for that.
Well, exactly. And you go back to the beginning of the season, I don't think any of us were high on the Flames. I don't think many people thought the Flames, if anything, Drew, their ceiling was a wild card spot, right?
Right.
And they've played like that. Like, they've been fine, but they're obviously way back. What are they, 10 or 12 points back of the LA Kings right now? So, like, they're not even close to a playoff spot right now. But regardless, they have some good players that can play. So, you know, on that goal, what do I see? I mean, Colin Miller, it's just not a good clearing attempt. It's just soft and, you know, goes right to Weegar. And, look, there's traffic in front of Hellebuck. Originally, they gave the goal to Popsicle. But, you know, on the replay, I think Neil Pionk's skate might have, there was a deflection off of Pionk as well. So, again, it's a seeing-eye shot. But, again, even though it's not a great goal, the Flames were working hard and they were getting scoring chances and they had all the momentum. So you're kind of around the midway point of the second period and the game is tied. And to be honest with you, you know, kind of the game deserved to be tied. I don't think the Jets were playing particularly well, but as we know, as the second period progressed, I think the Jets woke up a little bit and they realized they were going to have to play better. And then obviously we'll get into the Tyler Toffoli goal here, because that was huge on the power play.
It absolutely was. For the Jets to go into the second intermission with the lead, it was absolutely huge. It's with Nikita Ochotchuk in the penalty box. And
that's a household name right there, right?
I did check the pronunciation guide before trying to make sure I was going to pronounce it correctly. So Nikita Ochotchuk in the box for hooking at the 14:17 mark of the second period. And it's the Jets' second power play unit that gets them the lead, regains them the lead. Tyler Toffoli, his 31st of the season, assist to Vlad Namestnikov and Nikolai Ehlers. This comes with 4 minutes and 25 seconds to go in the second period. You know, an important goal for the Winnipeg Jets, I certainly thought, because they hadn't been great in the second period. They got better as the second period went on, but this was important for the Jets to retake the lead heading into the third period. And again, in a night where the majority of the Jets' goals came from right in the blue paint, this is another one of those goals that was basically, I mean, it was a fortuitous bounce off the Flame skate, but it comes from being right there and causing trouble right in front of Dustin Wolf and right in front of and right where the blue paint is.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, originally, you know, you're looking at that and you're thinking like, okay, the play was clearly to Vlad Nemestikov, right? But the reality is it doesn't even matter because, you know, the Jets were aggressive here. That's what I liked most about the second power play unit and really the power play, you know, in general, you know, over the last couple of games, right? We talked about it. Kyle Connor was excellent tonight on the power play, Josh Morrissey and Neil Pionk, right? You got to give Neil Pionk. We talked about, you know, this is the second power play unit here. But, you know, I just thought that the Flames were, you know, they collapse right in front of Dustin Wolf.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, quote unquote garbage goal, but, you know, it comes off of just the Jets putting the puck on net and, you know, Nemestikov going to where he should be going and the power play, you know, firing on all cylinders tonight. And they're going to need that, right? They really are because, you know, we talked about it. I mean, it's not a guarantee, but it's looking pretty much like a guarantee. It's going to be the Jets and Avalanche in the first round.
I if you're not willing to call it a Ginsburg guarantee, I'm willing to say it's a guarantee at this point in time.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I mean, it's going to take, you know, the Jets, you know, the Jets probably have to win, what, five of their last six? And then they have to get help with the Avalanche losing a lot of games, right? Like, I don't even think if you win four of six, that's going to really do it, right? Because well, then the
four
Avalanche
of six gives you 8 points, which gives you 106, which means right. Colorado would have to go, would have to go 2-4.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's unlikely, right?
It's unlikely to be, it's hard to believe that the way Colorado's been playing 7-2-1 in their last 10, the way Dallas has been playing winners of 8 in a row. And I don't know if you saw what they did to the Oilers yesterday, but they absolutely just manhandled the Oilers yesterday. So it's hard to believe that Dallas is going to, that Colorado is going to catch Dallas or that the Jets are going to catch Colorado, especially because you would expect the Jets are going to rest some players and maybe not.
I agree with JC here, the comment for those listening on the podcast, like, I like the Avalanche better than the Stars, but I would rather play a team that isn't the Avalanche or the Stars. So you could look at it like another way too, Drew. You could look at it like if the Jets are able to get out of the first round and beat Colorado, why can't they win the cup? I mean, you're talking about the team that won the cup 2 years ago. And yes, I agree. I've been on the record. I've said this to you, Drew. I mean, I don't have any money. I don't have any, you know, skin in the game.
I don't have any money generally.
I don't have any money in general. This has nothing to do with anything else. I just, please send me money. Yeah. I'm obviously joking, but you can send me an e-transfer. No, I'm just kidding. But, no,
he's
but
not kidding, folks. He could really use an
e-transfer. Dallas, I've said, I think Dallas is the best team in the league. I just, that's my own opinion. I don't know how many other people agree with that. I think most people at the very least are calling the Stars a top three team or a top five team, right? But look, it's going to be a hard matchup. Whether the Jets start at home or start on the road, the Avalanche are an amazing team and they're going to need to be firing on all cylinders. And that's going back to what I was talking about, the power play is going to be huge. Like we've said, you don't have to have a power play that's clicking at 60 to 70%. But you can't have a power play that's clicking at 15 to 20% either.
Right.
And the Jets just have way too much talent. And now with Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli, since they've been acquired, these guys have made their living for a large extent on the power play, Toffoli especially. But both of these guys are talented players. So, you know, look, Toffoli, he's got 31 goals and, you know, and Vilardi scoring power play goals. I mean, this is what they're paid to do. And they're doing it. They're not the prettiest goals, but at the end of the day, who cares? A goal is a goal is a goal, right?
That it is. 3-2 for the Winnipeg Jets after 40 minutes. We can't talk about the start of the third before we mention, of course, how the second ended. That's with Martin Pospisil, or as you like to call him, Popsicle, taking a 5-minute major and a game misconduct for just a blatant headshot elbow on Josh Morrissey. Now, it appears as though Morrissey
is okay.
This was just a dirty hit. I mean, this is a dirty hit from a dirty player. I mean, you've been suspended. He's already been suspended, what, two times? If I'm not mistaken, earlier this year.
I thought once, but it could be twice.
You know, I can't remember. Maybe it's he was suspended once and he's been kicked out of three other games, might be how it was, because he's a dirty player.
Well, we talked about his hit on Perfetti that I believe, like, I don't even think he got a penalty on that play.
It was it was in the preseason. I don't remember exactly what it was, but that was a dirty hit. That was just a blindside hit to a player's head. You know, he's a guy who obviously is a physical player. But he's beyond a physical player. Lots of physical players who are still within the parameters of the game. He's a guy who's clearly out of bounds. And then the question becomes, can he get inbounds and still be as effective, or is he just going to be a headhunter who, you know, just goes around injuring players for the remainder of his career? Now, for his sake, I hope he learns how to channel that aggression and learn how to hit in a way that is legal, but this was certainly not an example of it and will likely cost him a handful of games for the end till the end of the season, especially because he's a repeat offender.
Well, yeah, and Pospisil is a good player. Like, he's not a goon. Like, this is a guy who, you know, he's a decent player. Like, he's playing in the top six right now for the Flames. I'm not sure, you know, if that's due to the fact that they've traded a lot of their top players away, Drew. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like, you know, he's got a reputation for dirty hits now, and this was a dirty hit. Like, this was a headhunting hit. And the thing is, you know me, like, my favorite player of all time is Scott Stevens. I love, you know, good, hard-nosed physical hockey, but this is a hit to the head, and it's a dirty hit. And I wouldn't be suspended if I wouldn't be surprised if he gets, I don't know, 3 or 4 games. I'm not sure. Like, he could end up getting 1 game or 2 games or maybe nothing, Drew. We've talked about it. It's like the department of who knows, you know, it's really hard to know what's going on in that office half the time, right? So, but it's a dirty hit. And, you know, we talked about the 5-minute power play before that. Unfortunately, the Jets didn't get a goal, but, you know, it pretty much, you know, put the Flames on their heels, you know, for the majority of the third period, early part of the third period, right? And they had some chances. Like, the first unit was out there for a good chunk of that 5-minute major. You know, I love the way that Scheifele, Morrissey, and Connor were moving that puck, and we talked about it. Velarde was still dangerous. I think that was that the power play? No, there was another power play where he put it through the legs. I didn't necessarily like that because it wasn't a good pass between the legs, but at the end of the day, he gets himself a hat trick. So I don't think anyone's going to remember that, but yeah, I mean, Pospisil, dirty hit, and the Rooney hit late in the game was dirty on Lowry, and we'll, you know, maybe touch on that, but I also didn't like that one, and I thought that should have been penalized.
Yeah, that was, you know, late in the third period where Adam Lowry took a shot. And Lowry was, you know, had his head down, but Rooney hit him right in the chin. I mean, he came up and hit him right in the chin. No call on the play, but you could see Adam Lowry was displeased by the hit. You could see his reaction on the bench saying, he hit me right in the head. And so those are the kind of hits that you know, the NHL claims to not want in the game anymore. I don't expect anything will happen to Rooney, but I would certainly expect that Pospisil is going to, get suspended as a result of that. The Jets, to your point, they don't capitalize on the 5-minute major, which is not great. I mean, that really would have probably sealed the game in that first 5 minutes of the third period, but they stay with it, and then they do get the insurance marker at the 8:44 mark of the second period. It's Gabe Velarde, his 18th of the year, assist to Josh Morrissey and Neil Pionk. And again, where is Velarde? He is in the dirty area causing trouble and causing chaos, and that's a good thing for the Winnipeg Jets because the Calgary Flames just couldn't handle his combination of size and strength tonight. Nice passing by Morrissey and Pionk in moving it around, and a nice play by Nikolaj Ehlers, I believe, to gain the zone, you know, as he's Mr. Clean Zone Entry.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Drew. Like, this is all speed. He goes way past Mackenzie Weegar, and the puck eventually comes back to the point, Pionk to Morrissey. And look, I mean, Dustin Wolf kind of fumbles the initial shot, right? Let's be honest here. But like you said, sometimes that's the thing, though. Sometimes, like, how many times do we break these games down when the Jets don't play well and we say, you know, the Jets had all of these shots from the outside. There weren't a lot of inner slot chances. There weren't a lot of high danger chances. You know, they were passing it too much. They were missing the net, everything like that. Well, sometimes hockey is that simple where, you know, defenseman puts the puck on net. You get a rebound. You go to the net. You get, like, sometimes you don't get those bounces.
Right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, look, I felt bad for Dustin Wolf because I thought for the most part he played a good game. And he's been a guy.
He fought hard for the Flames.
He fought hard, and he's one of those guys that's playing for a job next year. Like, you got Jacob Markstrom there, and I know everybody's already talking about, oh, you know, Markstrom's going to go to the Devils. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he will, but certainly Dustin Wolf wouldn't mind that because for now, you know, he's still the backup goaltender. As long as Jacob Markstrom is in the Flames organization, but, you know, Wolf is a good player who's really impressed in the American Hockey League, right? So it's unfortunate that he bobbles that puck. But again, Vilardi's in the spot. You have to be, look, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? There's a reason why that's the famous quote, right? So good on Vilardi, goes to the net. And obviously we know we're not going to break down the empty net goal, but he completes the hat trick.
Right.
And just, you'd love to
but
see
But we
that.
Will do one thing about the empty net goal, Ezzy, because it's Gabe Vilardi's first career hat trick in the NHL. So even though it's an empty netter, it counts as our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Perhaps you're celebrating the Winnipeg Jets having clinched a playoff spot tonight. I suggest doing so with one of the great Seagram's products, like Seagram's VO, Integrity, Tradition, and Craftsmanship. Coincidentally enough, that's also Ezzy's slogan on his business cards. So in whatever you're drinking tonight, we encourage you to do it responsibly and strongly suggest and thank our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. So,
did
yes,
you notice that I threw my hat for Gabe Vilardi?
Yes, yeah. I thought that was a nice touch. Yeah. Your forehead seems to be growing a bit.
No, it's not growing. I think it's just
the hat. The way you were wearing the hat is all. It's slicked back a little bit. I'm not one to talk, of course, but
lines, Drew. More stress lines from having kids.
each year goes past. The kids get older. You're like rings on a tree. You can see how old you are based on the stress lines and the wrinkles in your forehead.
Yeah, I need some beauty cream. I need some L'Oreal. Do you use any L'Oreal products, Drew?
I don't. This is all natural, Ezzy. It's with the exception of the fake tan.
It's all that natural sun that you get. You're always going to the southern United States, so you're getting all of the sun. Where I'm back here in Winnipeg, I'm just as pale as a piece of bread.
There you go, piece of white. We're going to start calling you Wonder Bread from now on. Jets win 5-2. Gabe Vilardi with the hat trick. Jets playoff bound. That's going to be exciting. So lots more coming your way after the regular season ends. And of course, as we announced earlier tonight on the Illegal Curve post game show, prior to each and every Winnipeg Jets home game, we present the Illegal Curve pregame show live at City Place. Stay tuned for more details along those lines, but the Illegal Curve pregame show will be making its debut for this upcoming playoffs at City Place in downtown Winnipeg. Big thanks to our friends at City Place. And of course, when the Jets head on the road, game one, the first road playoff game, whatever date that might be it Saturday the 20th or Sunday the 21st, we're going to be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue for a watch party and Illegal Curve post-game show, a live broadcast. So tons of opportunities coming your way to be a fan and be a part of the Illegal Curve experience. And let me tell you, folks, it's an experience and then some. When we come back on the Illegal Curve post-game show, Tough Duck hardest hitting comment, look and see if there's any interesting post-game comments from the Jets dressing room, and of course, more nonsense from Ezzy and yours truly. Don't go anywhere. It's Thursday night. The Jets have clinched their playoff spot. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change. Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Shortly after the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg with you. We want to remind you that in addition to all the other places we're going to be, we're also going to be at the Rady JCC Sports Dinner, the 50th annual. What a great milestone for one of the greatest dinners on the sporting calendar or on any calendar. That's coming up May 28th, 2024. The great speakers are Grant Fuhr, Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark. If you love memorabilia, this is the night for you. The collection of memorabilia that the Rady JCC Sports Dinner has on display and has available in their silent auctions is absolutely incredible. Don't miss out. Get your tickets at RadyJCC.com. And of course, if you want to buy a ticket and sit with Ezzy, Dave, and yours truly, be sure to tell our friends at the Rady that you want to sit at the Illegal Curve table. That's coming up May 28th, 2024. Illegal Curve, one of the proud media sponsors of the 50th annual sports dinner, Ezzy.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Obviously went last year, had a great time with Jeremy Roenick, Ed Belfour, and Chris Chelios. Yeah, that sports auction, you got signed hockey jerseys, signed football jerseys, basketball jerseys, and also a signed Drew Mandel tennis racket.
It's true.
From Glendale Golf and Country Club. Drew had one of the hardest serves in his age group, so you can also bid on that. You know, I also wanted to say one funny thing. I don't know if you noticed this too, Drew, in that graphic. Obviously, Wendell Clark, Doug Gilmore, known as Leafs. Grant Fuhr, even though he played very briefly. Did he play for the Leafs? No, he didn't.
Yeah, he played for the Leafs.
Yeah, he played for the Leafs. Was that after the Oilers? Yeah, it was after the Oilers.
It was after the Blues, I think. I think he went from, if I recall correctly, and I'll look it up while I'm here, he went from Edmonton to St. Louis to Toronto.
No, it was Edmonton.
No, Edmonton, Toronto. Sorry, I got that one wrong.
Yeah, to Edmonton, Buffalo, then to St. Louis.
That's right. Edmonton, Toronto, Buffalo, L.A., and then St. Louis. And then do you remember where he ended his career?
Well, yeah, just because I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. There you go. Calgary
Flames. Yeah, we better say it, Drew, for the people listening on podcast or I guess live right now on YouTube and social media as well. But just find it funny that, you know, it's obviously they could have gone with fewer in the Leafs uniform, but he's known more so for winning all the cups with the Oilers. He is a Hall of Famer at the end of the day. Can you name who the backup was, though, that year?
Which year?
Pardon me, the other goalie. If you get this, yeah, I will be very impressed. 98, 99 in Calgary that we said? Hold on one sec.
Yeah, Grant Fuhr's last year. No,
99-2000. Grant Fuhr played 22 games that year.
Okay.
For the Calgary Flames. Who played the majority of the games that year? One of my favorite goalies of all time. He used to play
was
for the Edmonton
Freddie
Oilers.
Freddie Brathwaite's year?
It was.
Wow.
Good, Drew. That's impressive. Freddie Brathwaite, who played for the, I believe, IHL Manitoba Moose.
Yeah, Freddie would have been the IHL, wasn't the AHL.
Yeah, but Freddie Brathwaite, you got to love that because Brathwaite was, I want to say he was like 5'8", 5'7". 5'7". So shout out to Freddie Brathwaite. I know that Fred Brathwaite has done work with Team Canada. Like he's been a goalie consultant and goalie coach for Team Canada. But yeah, Freddie Brathwaite and Grant Fuhr, the duo in 1999-2000 for the Flames. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, we're going to have so much fun. So definitely get some tickets and check that out and put a bid on that Drew Mandel tennis racket.
There you go. Exactly. Bidding starts at one penny for that Drew Mandel tennis racket, let me tell you. Ezzy, let's wrap up tonight's show with the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
All right, we're going to go to NTR S9. Is it NTR 59 or S9? I think it's S9.
I think it's S9, yeah.
NTR S9. I like this comment. 50% good, 50% bad this game. Still some things to clean up. Another 3-on-1 with the power play. We talked about that when the Jets were on the 5-minute major. It was Rooney who had the 3-on-1 chance. Hellebuck made the save. Mm-hmm. Still at a loss as to how this happens every game. Honestly, I kind of think that's just a great summation of this game. The Jets were pretty bad for the first 10 minutes of the first period and the first 10 minutes of the second period.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got some goals on the power play. And obviously, we talked about it. The third period was largely controlled by the Jets. Filardi completes the hat trick. So, you know, it's not a Picasso, as Claude Noel used to say, but the Jets clinch a playoff spot and they're pretty much locked into either second or third in the Central. So I like that comment from NTR S9. Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or slide into my DMs on X @ICSEG and send me your mailing address and Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you. And we've only got 6 games left of toques because, Drew, you know what's coming in the playoffs.
Trucker hats.
There you go. Britney Spears is happy.
There you go.
Is it Britney Spears that wore trucker hats or is that Jessica Simpson? I forget.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask somebody else to answer that question for you. I got Freddie Brathwaite, but you're on your own for the trucker hat.
Well, and like Ashton Kutcher, I always think of, like, because we're talking about late 90s, early 2000s when that was a thing, right? With, I know, Drew, you had a Von Dutch hat.
Lord help me, folks.
Did you forget about that? Von Dutch? Whatever happened to Von Dutch? I feel like there's a Netflix documentary about, like, or that was Abercrombie and Fitch, the rise and fall of Abercrombie and Fitch. But I feel
weren't
like
you an Abercrombie and Fitch model. Wasn't that the case? Didn't you work at the Abercrombie and Fitch?
No, Drew. Park? I was a model for Ballpark Frank hot dogs. That's who I was a model for.
More of this nonsense coming up on Saturday morning, as we are going to be joined by Jamie Thomas, of course, Winnipeg Jets reporter, good friend of ours. He's going to join us on Saturday morning's Illegal Curve hockey show. And then as well, Scott Burnside on hockey. He's covered hockey down south for many a moon. He's going to join us. I'm not sure if he's based in Atlanta still. I know he used to be.
Yeah, he's still there. Yep.
He's still in Atlanta. So we'll talk. We'll talk to Scott about what's going on
you
around
were just
the
there,
league
Drew
well.
Recently you were in Atlanta with the boys.
It was in October.
I was probably just not Naomi probably just didn't let me go, but you guys had a good time.
We did That's true. I actually flew through Atlanta going to Kentucky in December, so I've been there a few times in the last little bit. Anyways, that's coming up Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with the Illegal Curve hockey show. And then, of course, we'll have a Saturday afternoon edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show following the Jets and the Minnesota Wild, a game that has far less meaning now that the Winnipeg Jets have clinched the playoffs.
Maybe there's just going to be a line brawl, Drew, to start the game. Maybe we'll see that.
Fingers crossed, we can talk about that on Saturday as well, the shenanigans between the Rangers and the Devils from last night.
The only problem is, Ryan Hartman's not going to be in the game, so that kind of defeats the purpose, because obviously, you know, Ryan Hartman has a target on his back from his previous shenanigans with Cole Perfetti. I feel like we're not going to be seeing another line brawl for the rest of the season. I don't see that very often anymore.
No, you don't. You're right. The league has done its best to get that out of the game, but the Devils and the Rangers brought it back for one night only, at least in Madison Square Garden last night. A big thank you to all of the sponsors who make the show, the post-game show, the website a possibility. That's, of course, including our friends at City Place. We'll be there, the Illegal Curve pregame show, before each and every Winnipeg Jets home playoff games. So the longer the Jets make a playoff run, the more of Illegal Curve you're going to see live and in living color. Same with our friends at Boston Pizza. We'll be there for the first road game for the live on location broadcast of the post game show and a watch party. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, they've been by our side from day one. Big thanks to them. Grid Park, use code Illegal Curve to park for free. Download the Grid Park app and begin to save and make yourself less stressed when it comes to parking in downtown Winnipeg. Linden Market Dental Center, Zapia Group Realty, two great companies that have been with us as well. Betway, they sponsor the Illegal Curve post-game show. Tough Duck, the hardest hitting comment. Our friends at Seagram's, Rollie's Transfer, and Farmery Beer, thank them all for their continued support of Illegal Curve. Support all of these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve. If you haven't already done so, be sure to smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback, and of course, tell your friends, tell your family the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game and before the home playoff games is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. We're really looking forward to that, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. IllegalCurve.com in case you missed any of tonight's action or for more post-game coverage. For Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.